Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Rescued and Restored. I'm your host, Jeremiah Courage Riley, and it's a privilege to be able just to fellowship with you and to share with you light from above. Today, I would like to begin with a short verse from a hymn titled, This is the Day of New Beginnings, by a person named Brian Wren. It's a hymn that I recently started learning, and I found it to be very uplifting. So the first verse says, this is a day of new beginnings, time to remember and move on, time to believe what love is bringing, laying to rest the pain that's gone. Let us go ahead and pray together as we begin. Heavenly Father of all creation, you are the God of love. You are the God of new beginnings. You are the God of forgiveness, the God of comfort, the God of vision, wisdom, and power. I pray and ask that you will bless us with your presence and help us to open up our hearts to you and learn of you and be taught and taught by you. In Jesus' name, amen. Today, I would like to read from the book titled Steps to Christ, chapter one, which is titled God's Love for Man. So rather than presenting on a topic that I've written about, I'm going to just read from this book. And if you would like a copy of the book, it's titled Steps to Christ, written by Ellen White. And this book has been a huge help in my life in helping me to understand the simplicity of the gospel message. Also in helping me to embrace a more pure lifestyle. Sometimes we can be entangled with the complexities of the nature and character of our Creator and how he's calling us to live. And it's a blessing whenever we're able to see in simplicity the plan of salvation and the nature and character of the God of all creation. So beginning in chapter one, page one, it says, nature and revelation alike testify of God's love. Our Father in heaven is the source of life, of wisdom, and of joy. Look at the wonderful and beautiful things of nature. Think of their marvelous adaptation to the needs and happiness, not only for humans, but of all living creatures. The sunshine and the rain that gladdens and refresh the heart, the earth, the hills, and seas and plains all speak to us of the Creator's love. It is God who supplies the daily needs of all his creatures. In the beautiful words of the psalmist, the eyes of all who wait upon thee, and thou givest them their meat in due season. Thou openest thine hand and satisfiest the desire of every living thing. Psalm 145, 15 and 16. God made man perfectly holy and happy. And the fair earth, as it came from the Creator's hand, bore no blight of decay or shadow of the curse. It is transgression of God's law, the law of love, that has brought woe and death. Yet even amid the suffering that results from sin, God's love is revealed. It is written that God cursed the ground for man's sake. Genesis 3:17. The thorn and the thistle, the difficulties and trials that make his life one of toil and care, were appointed for his good as a part of the training needful in God's plan for his uplifting from the ruin and degradation that sin has wrought. The world, though fallen, is not all sorrow and misery. In nature itself are messages of hope and comfort. There are flowers upon the thistles, and the thorns are covered with roses. God is love is written upon every opening bud, upon every spire of springing grass, the lovely birds making the air vocal with their happy songs, the delicately tinted flowers in their perfection, perfuming the air, the lofty trees of the forest with their rich foliage of living green, all testify to the tender, fatherly care of our God and to his desire to make his children happy. The word of God reveals his character. He himself has declared his infinite love and pity. When Moses prayed, "Show me your glory," the Lord answered, "I will make all my goodness pass before you." Exodus 33:18-19. This is his glory. The Lord passed before Moses and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. Exodus 34:6-7. He is slow to anger and of great kindness, because he delighteth in mercy. Jonah 4:2 and Micah 7:18. God has bound our hearts to him by unnumbered tokens in heaven and in earth. Through the things of nature and the deepest and tenderest earthly ties that human hearts can know, he has sought to reveal himself to us. Yet these but imperfectly represent his love. Though all these evidences have been given, the enemy of good blinded the minds of men so that they looked upon God with fear. They thought of him as severe and unforgiving. Satan led men to conceive of God as a being whose chief attribute is stern justice, one who is a severe judge, a harsh, exacting creditor. He pictured the Creator as a being who is watching with jealous eye to discern the errors and mistakes of men, that he may visit judgments upon them. It was to remove this dark shadow by revealing to the world the infinite love of God that Jesus came to live among men. The Son of God came from heaven to make manifest the Father. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. John 1:18. Neither knows any man the Father except the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Matthew 11:27. When one of the disciples made the request, "Show us the Father," Jesus answered, "Have I been so long time with you, and yet you still don't know me, Philip? He that has seen me has also seen the Father. So why do you say, 'Show us the Father'?" John 14:8-9. In describing his earthly mission, Jesus said, "The Lord has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised." Luke 4:18. This was his work. He went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed by Satan. There were whole villages where there was not a moan of sickness in the house, for he had passed through them and healed all their sick. His evidence was the work that he did, and it was of his divine anointing. Love, mercy, and compassion were revealed in every act of his life. His heart went out in tender sympathy to the children of men. He took man's nature that he might reach man's wants. The poorest and humblest were not afraid to approach him. Even little children were attracted to him. They loved to climb upon his knees and gaze into the pensive face, benignant with love. Jesus did not suppress one word of truth, but he uttered it always in love. He exercised the greatest tact and thoughtful, kind attention in his intercourse with the people. He was never rude, never needlessly spoke a severe word, never gave needless pain to a sensitive soul. He did not censure human weakness. He spoke the truth, but always in love. He denounced hypocrisy, unbelief, and iniquity, but tears were in his voice as he uttered his scathing rebukes. He wept over Jerusalem, the city he loved, which refused to receive him, the way, the truth, and the life. They had rejected him, the Savior, but he regarded them with pitying tenderness. His life was one of self-denial and thoughtful care for others. Every soul was precious in his eyes. While he ever bore himself with divine dignity, he bowed with the tenderest regard to every member of the family of God. In all men, he saw fallen souls whom it was his mission to save. Such is the character of Christ as revealed in his life. This is the character of God. It is from the Father's heart that the streams of divine compassion manifest in Christ flow out to the children of men. Jesus, the tender, pitying Savior, was God manifest in the flesh. It was to redeem us that Jesus lived and suffered and died. He became a man of sorrows that we might be made partakers of everlasting joy. God permitted his beloved Son, full of grace and truth, to come from a world of indescribable joy to a world marred and blighted with sin, darkened with the shadow of death and the curse. He permitted him to leave the bosom of his love, the adoration of the angels, to suffer shame, insult, humiliation, hatred, and death. The chastisement, according to Isaiah 53 and verse 5, of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Behold him in the wilderness, in Gethsemane, upon the cross. The spotless Son of God took upon himself the burden of sin. He who had been one with God felt in his soul the awful separation that sin makes between God and humanity. This wrung from his lips the anguish cry, according to Matthew 27 and verse 46, my God, why have you forsaken me and left me alone? It was the burden of sin, the sense of its terrible enormity, of its separation of the soul from God. It was this that broke the heart of the Son of God. But this great sacrifice was not made in order to create in the Father's heart a love for humanity, not to make him willing to save. No, no. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, according to John 3, verse 16. The Father loves us not because of the great propitiation, but he provided the propitiation because he loves us. Hallelujah. Christ was the medium through which he could pour out his infinite love upon a fallen world. God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. God suffered with his Son in the agony of Gethsemane, the death of Calvary. The heart of infinite love paid the price for our redemption. Jesus said, therefore does my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. John 10, 17. That is, my Father has so loved you that he even loves me more for giving my life to redeem you. In becoming your substitute and surety, by surrendering my life, by taking your liabilities, your transgressions, I am endeared to my Father. For by my sacrifice, God can be just and yet the justifier of him who believes in Jesus. None but the Son of God could accomplish our redemption, for only he who was in the bosom of the Father could declare him. Only he who knew the height and depth of the love of God could make it manifest. Nothing less than the infinite sacrifice made by Christ in behalf of fallen man could express the Father's love to lost humanity. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. He gave him not only to live among humans, to bear their sins and die their sacrifice. He gave him to the fallen human race. Christ was to identify himself with the interests and needs of humanity. He who was one with God has linked himself with the children of men by ties that are never to be broken. Jesus is not ashamed to call them brethren, according to Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 11. He is our sacrifice, our advocate, our brother, bearing our human form before the Father's throne, and through eternal ages, one with the race he has redeemed, the Son of Man. And all this that man might be uplifted from the ruin and degradation of sin, that he might reflect the love of God and share the joy of holiness. The price paid for our redemption, the infinite sacrifice of our Heavenly Father in giving his Son to die for us, should give us exalted conceptions of what we may become through Christ. As the inspired Apostle John beheld the height, the depth, the breadth of the Father's love toward the perishing race, he was filled with adoration and reverence, and failing to find suitable language in which to express the greatness and tenderness of his love, he called upon the world to behold it. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1. What a value this places upon humanity. Through transgression, the sons of man become subjects of Satan. Through faith in the atoning sacrifice of Christ, the sons of Adam may become the sons of God. And that also includes daughters of Adam are to become daughters of God. By assuming human nature, Christ elevates humanity. Hallelujah. Fallen humans are placed where, through connection with Christ, they may indeed become worthy of the name sons and daughters of God. Such love is without parallel. Children of the Heavenly King, precious promise, theme for the most profound meditation. The matchless love of God for a world that did not love him. The thought has a subduing power upon the soul and brings the mind into captivity to the will of God. The more we study the divine character in the light of the cross, the more we see mercy, tenderness, and forgiveness blended with equity and justice, and the more clearly we discern innumerable evidence of a love that is infinite and a tender pity surpassing a mother's yearning sympathy for her wayward child. That concludes the reading of chapter 1, Steps to Christ, God's Love for Humanity. I'm thankful to be able to share this with you because it is a necessary reminder that we need, a reminder to some and new information to others. But as human beings, we need to know how much we are loved and valued by our Heavenly Creator. We need to know that when Jesus chose to come to this earth, live the life he lived and died the death that he died, that it was because of the great value he has placed upon each of us. And I think that as we grow and mature in our understanding of the great value that we each possess, we will then choose to resist Satan's lies and temptations and sell ourselves short by choosing to sin. So thanks be to God that he has become our way of escape through Jesus the Christ. Heavenly Father, thank you for this moment we are able to share in this reading. Thank you for the words that we were able to hear today. I pray and ask that you would help each of us to grow in our understanding of your love for us, a of your mission and your methods to restore us back to holiness, back to good health in mind, body, and spirit, back to a clear understanding of who you are. And this is truly the foundation of good health. An accurate knowledge of the character and nature of our God, the creator of the universe. Be with our families, Father. Help us to know you. Shine your bright light into the thick darkness of Satan's lies and deceptions, and heal our broken hearts. In the name of your Son, Jesus, who is soon to come, we pray. Amen.